What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 380th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. My voice is not going to last.
It's not super effective.
I can already hear it going. I'm your host, SBJ. With me is Greg.
Hello, it's time to pounce. He's weak, Will. He's got no voice.
We've already made our inroads. Yes.
Will's also here.
And I want to state up front, while Greg may feel like we are allies and going to take over this program from Steve Surumi, I want to lodge a formal complaint.
Oh, here we go.
I want to lodge a formal complaint that Greg hates my abs and is doing everything in his power to make them go away.
I don't hate your abs. I just think your abs need a nice treat every once in a while.
The treats are what are killing the abs. And I just want to enter into evidence as Exhibit A at the Cub grocery today.
Yes.
You immediately handed me the sweet and salty roasted peanuts and candy corn mix, which I had been begging for weeks.
I know. It's so good.
You two need to start a popcorn podcast.
There was no popcorn in the sweet and salty peanut and candy corn mix.
Welcome to the Cub Snack Cast.
Yeah, there you go. Cub Snack Cast. Because from what I've been told, this cub has more snacks than actual food in it.
The one below Will's has a huge, 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 huge snack area.
Correct.
Like, it's like a popcorn extravaganza. And they have popcorn at that cub that we did not have up in our lonely cub up here.
But the problem is my cub doesn't have the sweet and salty candy corn mix, which Greg's cub does have.
Yeah.
So I'm actually thinking of setting up an illicit underground pipeline where, like, I transport the popcorn from my cub up north, and then, like, in exchange, bring down the sweet and salty candy corn mix. Which, on
paper,
further thought, after waiting so many weeks to get my hands on the sweet and salty candy corn mix, which I have to say the full name every single time, I realized I could have just bought a bag of roasted peanuts and a bag of candy corn and dumped them in together myself.
But you wouldn't until you had proof. Now that you have proof, you can attempt to make your own for our fabulous Sword and Shield launch party.
The gala?
Extravaganza, the gala. The
Galar Gala?
The Galar Gala.
I'm just wondering if there's something about the process that Cub uses to mix the salty peanuts with the sweet candy corn that, like, there's an intermingling of the flavors that wouldn't happen from an immediate dump of the two just into a bowl and, like,
hand
there
mix. Is. You
know
see? What it is?
There's
it's called love.
There's no such thing as love.
see, that's
it's
why
some
yours
sort of alchemy. See, that I brought it into the Pokemon.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see.
It's some sort of alchemy.
It's alchemy, not alchemy.
Speaking of I there.
Love, and speaking of apologizing for a very long intro before we get to our Pokemon news. Our first bit of Pokemon news is Pokemon Masters producer knows his game is boring and apologizes.
I'm out. You guys enjoy the next hour and a half of Greg on a screen. I'm going to be in the corner knitting over here.
This is off Kotaku. This was sent in by Kevin from our Slack community. There is, we're reading the Kotaku article because it's a little bit shorter than the,
It's shorter than the apology letter.
The apology letter you can read in your game app if you choose to do so. I read it and it's very stale and very boring.
Yep. Just like their game.
Yu Sasaki, producer of the mobile game Pokemon Masters, recently issued a public apology for the game's lack of content. His lengthy statement acknowledges a list of player grievances, which include poor battle design and usability, and promises to address them. We are disappointed we did not meet the expectations of our community, and for this, we sincerely apologize. Sasaki explained in a post, which went on the game's website yesterday, It is our intention that it does not happen again. Hearing these opinions of fellow trainers have deepened our sense of commitment to deliver a game we can both be proud of. Both the development and operation teams are fully committed to improving the game and creating a memorable experience for all fans to enjoy. Sasaki didn't share a detailed roadmap for the promised improvements for the post. Pokemon Masters was almost an immediate success, launching in August, hitting 10 million downloads in just 10 days and racking up an estimated $25 million in revenue the first week. Kotaku senior reporter Mike Falley praised the game in its early days for developing the trainers behind the ubiquitous pocket monsters along with non-intrusive microtransactions. despite belonging to the often predatory gacha games in which developer DNA frequently dabbles, Pokemon Masters makes excellent use of the property it was provided. I mean, compared to other gacha games, I don't think Masters is very in your face.
That's your opinion. You stopped reading the article, I hear, it seems.
I'm just,
because,
well, you guys had reactions to that, so I'd stop
as,
here.
I've never played Masters. What I've heard from the most vocal person in proximity to me is not quite the same as that article has represented.
So you disagree, Greg? You think it is compared to other gacha games?
Yeah, I think. I think it's in line with a lot of gacha games, but to say that it's like, oh, it's mostly behind the scenes, like, it's not. Like, there quickly becomes a point when you realize that you cannot progress without a long grind, and that things that you need are going to require you to pull gems to do them to get better pairs to try to get through the game. Like, it isn't necessary to get through the game, but that's the same in all gacha games. But you do hit a point pretty early on where the level ramp is pretty extreme, and your 5 stars will simply carry you through better. Especially the co-op events, like the things that they introduced, where quickly, like, if you want this partner pair, fork over the cash. Like, there's not a lot of content. So to get the new content, it really was, and it really felt like you had to pay. You had to pay to try to get this. And even if you did pay, you weren't guaranteed to get it.
Finish this article here, but a mega popular franchise can only take you so far. Pokemon Master players were quickly surprised by how little content was actually in the game. While the developers were quick to kick off events featuring new trainers, the main story ends abruptly with an unceremoniously to be continued message, leaving players with little to do afterwards but grinding through the side missions and tedious online co-op battles with rewards that players felt were, for the most part, not worth the effort. Players also feel the balancing issue. Some trainers are so hilariously overpowered that it's not worth using anyone else. This led to online matches of co-op being full of all players using the same small group of characters. I don't have a great affinity for Olivia and her Lycanroc, or even series Your Rival Blue and his Pidgeot, but they became mainstays in my team for their overall utility in just about every Pokemon battle. The Pokemon franchise is that celebrates forming special connections with one or two creatures that uniquely suit your interests. But instead of being able to successfully field my favorite trainers, much love for Koga and Crobat, I felt pigeonholed when it came to the mobile game's more difficult fights. That was from the author, not me. I actually do like Olivia. Our goal is to create experiences like the fans witnessed in the first animated trailer, gathering iconic sync pairs and tackling tough challenges as you grow and strengthen bonds with your teams. We felt that we needed too much focus on specific skills. Players felt forced into situations where all team compositions looked identical, which we've talked about on the show, and there was an overall sense that there was only one correct approach for each challenge. We hope to create an environment where fans can partner with their favorite sync pairs and find unique solutions for entering challenges.
Wait, I have a moment of sarcastic request for clarification.
Sure.
Are you meaning to tell me that there's a Pokemon game with an extremely limited meta?
I mean, even if it was a meta, it's not. The meta grind, it is so frustrating. The end of that game, and they are selling short how dumb the to be continued is. I mean, you are in the middle of a league. You start the start of a chapter and you go through a conversation with like people who have been in the game for a while, and then it just stops and says to be continued. Like, you don't even finish the chapter. It's just like, oh, well, we didn't think that far.
I think
so.
The...
go grind some soda pop to maybe level your pears.
I think in the apology letter in the app, I think it says that we didn't expect players to go through the content so quickly.
Yeah, because they expected everybody to grind for 15 million hours in the most boring parts of the game.
Well, does that speak to the developers for being like, we made content and we expect players to go through this content in like 2 months? Or does that speak to the players who did decide to grind that boring content as fast as possible to beat the game in like 2 days?
Have they not met modern video game
yeah.
players? Because
I mean,
this is like not news to me at all.
It's like saying, oh, hey, we're so mad that you were so into our game that you played it nonstop and quickly got to the end. Oop.
Well,
you were only supposed to you were supposed to get so frustrated by the grind that you would turn it off halfway through your day.
I'm almost like, let me take you in a time machine back, I don't know what, 5 years ago? Let me introduce you to this game called Destiny, where they literally have competitions to see who can complete their most challenging content as quickly as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is what people do in this day and age.
Yeah,
they're not...
well,
you're all game guzzlers. There's very few Will Andersons out there, okay?
I mean, this is the World of Warcraft first to 80 achievement.
Yes.
Like,
no, I'm not saying there are people...
that's an actual achievement.
I'm not saying that there are people who don't want to beat a game as fast as possible. That totally exists. I am just kind of blown away that the developers admitted that this game is boring, and they admitted that this is bad. And that
did they really use the word boring?
I think they did use the word boring.
So it was actually a boastful press release. We have successfully achieved creating the most boring Pokemon game ever that is not a mystery dungeon.
But also, if you're still playing Masters and you still find some enjoyment in it, that's fine. I mean, people find enjoyment in golf, and I don't particularly think golf is interesting. So, like, everyone definitely has different expectations of what they find boring and interesting. And I don't want anyone to feel bad for continuing to play this game. Although, when I played it, I thought, man, I wish I was playing something else. And so I did play something else.
I enjoy the game part when there's game to enjoy. What I don't enjoy about this game is that it quickly becomes you have to run the same fight 50 times to get the materials needed to unlock a level cap, and then you have to run those same things again 50 times to unlock the skills to try to make the pair that you want at least somewhat usable in the game, which often doesn't happen. Like the article said, most people just gave up and went for Blue and Olivia because they're pretty powerful. And if you're going to run content 50 times, you're going to run it on the two people that make it worthwhile to get through the game. It's so frustrating to try to go through and find another pair and look at that and say, well, they need support pop. They need the support pop cans, so I'm now going to have to run the support fight 100 times to unlock all the level caps so that I can do the co-op parts for this team and still get to the part and think, this would still be easier with Olivia, or this would still be easier with Blue. It's so frustrating that you can't auto-skip the battles, that you absolutely have to do the grind, and there are three separate pop cans, and they all use them in different ways, and they all at higher levels need hundreds of them, so you have to grind. You have no choice but to grind in this game, and when there's nothing new about that grind, that's what people are complaining about, lack of content. I play that game a lot. I've stopped because I just find the grind so frustrating, but there's no way to skip the grind. There's no way to go and do the co-op battles without having to do the grind. And the grind is killing that game.
And for those of us who are not in the American Midwest, Greg is actually saying soda cans.
I think they're called pops in the game, though, aren't they?
Really? That's disappointing. That is incredibly disappointing.
They did not use the word boring. The overall battle difficulty and design are not satisfactory.
Yeah. The overall battle difficulty are not satisfactory, and there's not enough content for players to enjoy.
Okay, so the actual conversation here isn't whether the game is boring or bad. Because there are plenty of boring and bad games that are very successful in the App Store. The conversation is, did they make this press release? And did they apologize to people because they are not making the amount of money they want to be making?
Yes. I have a strong feeling that Pokemon saw the decline in usage and the outright outrage on the internet about how bad their game is damaging to their brand.
I would like to see a graph of the adoption rate, not adoption rate, play counts, daily play counts.
The fall off rate.
Okay, sure. Of this game compared to Magikarp Jump, because if they are basically comparing the two and Magikarp Jump has a longer to fall off rate than this game, then they know that they failed, because this game was intended to have a longer life than Magikarp Jump.
Well, I think Masters made more money than Magikarp. Masters made more money in 1 week than I think Magikarp made in its lifetime.
Well, yeah, but that's a high adoption rate. But with this kind of game, you need to keep people playing so that they keep paying for the pay for gems, as I've come to understand. Where Magikarp Jump, it was sure, you could buy stuff for items and everything, but it wasn't that grindy. And it there's not that much competitiveness to it. And
no.
Your only Pokemon you get to play with is a Magikarp.
Yeah.
So at least in this game, you get to play with other Pokemon.
Except you don't.
So somebody posed the question to me, the Pokemon company compare this to Pokemon Go, and did they expect this game to make as much?
They're far too different of games.
I agree.
Apples to apples that way.
I think they expected a similar return on investment that Go did. Maybe not the same, but I think they expected that another huge mobile game would perform that it has that much animation and access and branding behind it to at least do as much for their brand as Go did. I don't think anybody expects it to do the same as Go, but I think they expected it to do a percentage and to not be a black spot on their brand. And it is absolutely a black spot on their brand.
I'm sure they know, because DNA has made what so far? Mario Kart, Animal Crossing, Fire Emblem, Super Mario Run. I think they've made one other game that I can't think of. And then they made Masters. I'm very curious of that drop off of how much money are we making every week? How many players dropped? How many players downloaded the game? How many players dropped off after day one? How many players dropped off after a week? How many players dropped off after a month? This whole press release just makes me think they had the biggest drop off out of any of their games after a month or something, or a week. I mean, I fell off after a week. I don't know. I think, Greg, you lasted a little bit longer than I did.
Yep, a little bit.
I didn't last through one full play session at Pokemon Worlds because the iPad crashed, and I was like, don't bother rebooting it. I'm done. I'm good.
All right.
Give me
my pin and let me go.
I also think in an already controversial lead up to Sword and Shield, having another game really be fuel for people's anger at the Pokemon Company absolutely fueled this letter. They just don't want to deal with more fans having another vector of anger hurting their brand.
Yeah, I can see that. The next article is actually really mobile game heavy. It does involve Pokemon Go, but it also brings up some other mobile games, and specifically Harry Potter. So I think it's worth talking about just because Pokemon Go is the biggest thing that Pokemon Company produces. I don't know. Owns, shares, throws money into
their biggest property.
Their biggest property.
Way to put it.
This is off VentureBeat, titled "You're Not Pokemon Go. Don't Hammer AR into Your Mobile Games." I think this also piggybacks off the conversation we had last week, which is the conversation, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, the conversation with, like, now Apple Arcade existing and how you can put $5 into Mario Kart, or you can put $5 into 100 pretty well-made non-microtransaction, not ad-based games. In 2018, mobile games accounted for 74% of App Store revenue. With this gold rush comes a slew of new games, over 500 per day.
Wow.
What?
Man,
and none
I'm
of them is a remake of Dizzy Bee? Now none. I'm hot.
Because Dizzy Bee was terrible.
Would you? Ooh! Greg, I know where you live. Take those words back.
Never.
This can make it tough to stand out. Two biggest methods: using famous intellectual property or using augmented reality. In efforts to stand out from a crowd, game developers must find new ways to draw players. With so much tied to adoption, revenue and retention are more more companies depend on hefty IPs to do the work for them. Jurassic Park, Harry Potter, and Pokemon are just a handful of examples. Studios without access to third-party IPs depend more on sequels, both which push originality to the side. That's not to say that everything needs to be revolutionary. Pokemon Go is a great example of something fresh and original utilizing a great IP. Location-based games existed prior to Pokemon Go, but the ideal of going out there in the real world to catch them all is the realization of every Pokemon fan's dream, and the market data expresses that it was a perfect fit. To date, Pokemon Go remains one of the highest-grossing games on mobile. But here's where things go wrong. Niantic, the makers of Pokemon Go, released another monster IP title last month, Harry Potter Wizards Unite. Within 18 days of launch, Wizards Unite slipped below Pokemon Go in terms of growth statistics, and it's already below the top 1,000 mark of most downloaded games, and Pokemon Go steadily remains in the top 100. What happened? How is Pokemon Go doing so well while Wizards Unite and other seemingly strong IP-based titles have taken a port key to the bottom of the charts? That's are really good.
Wow. Nicely done, Venture Beat.
Venture Beat with the good puns here. What can both... Ooh, what a line. What can both those looking to leverage monster IPs and those looking to establish new ones learn from past misfires? Free-to-play mobile game development is a delicate art these days. Generally, game studios will start with a white paper concept and hire a focus group firm to gauge on this idea. Others may skip the white paper phase and build a prototype with a testing focus group. Either way, the idea is entirely formed on the studio side. From there are no major red flags, but the studios will progress building a full version 1 and release it to beta markets like New Zealand or Australia. This is why... you know, Australia got Pokemon Go first, why they got Mario Kart, give me your microtransactions for a month first. Sometimes Canada gets it early, too. It's worthwhile to note that the time and investment it takes to get version 1 could take a year in time and millions of dollars worth of effort. After the beta released, if retention and monetization metrics don't live up to expectation, the game may be killed. The metrics are enough to appease decision makers. The game might get some updates and improvements and move to a global release. Some companies like Supercell and their relatively new game Brawl Stars have had their game in this beta stage for over a year. There is one common thing entirely missing from all standard design and launch procedures of these games, and that is the immediate feedback loop from fans and IPs and gamers very early in the process. The lack of fan input can be mostly easily identified in this hit and miss example with Niantic's regard to Pokemon Go and Wizards Unite. This actually kind of piggybacks back to that Pokemon Masters where they were like, we didn't listen to our fans.
Correct.
Although that game was out in New Zealand and Taiwan for I think a full month, right?
Yeah.
Guess we can't trust New Zealanders.
Well, the thing is that the people in New Zealand, if you look at
the
it,
thing is,
they've got two things in New Zealand.
Sheep.
They got sheep is one, correct. The other thing is like Lord of the Rings tourism. You don't have a lot of excitement going on when those are the only two things that your society has to offer. So they're happy to grind away at a really bad Pokemon game because it's like, well, at least it's not making wool or taking people to see the Shire, you know?
See, I didn't actually know that Lord of the Rings was in New Zealand.
What?
Oh, my word.
That's where it was filmed, yo.
It is. Okay, wait. New Zealand actually has three things that are exciting.
Okay.
Exciting in quotes. Sheep, Lord of the Rings tourism, and the occasional earthquake. And so they're really happy to get, you know, a chance to play that Pokemon game before anybody else.
It's true. That's why they have no complaints. They're just so happy.
Yeah, they're just so happy all the
That's
time.
What I'm saying.
Catching Pokemon while walking around, well, that is Pokemon, isn't it? Pokemon Go captures the core experience of that universe. Harry Potter is known for many things, Hogwarts, spells, Death Eaters, etc., but very few of these things happen while walking around. A simple conversation with any potential player who loves Harry Potter could have predicted this inconsistency, and those are exactly the conversations we should be having.
But I think they also sort of ignore the fact that the spellcasting aspect of Harry Potter is also, it stops you from walking around. It's not a quick thing like Pokemon Go.
Yeah. I do like the spells in the game, but yeah, you can't, like, it's very, I mean, I'm sure eventually you do them enough, you could probably walk and do them, but, because there are people, like Irene, my wife, is a good example. She cannot catch and throw.
Yeah.
But also catching is probably overall still quicker than drawing a spell.
Absolutely it is. You can do it with one hand. You can, like, thumb it up and not pay attention. But Harry Potter, you have to trace exactly on the screen.
I tell you, if that spell casting is anything like doing the, when you're having a Pokemon trainer battle with somebody else in Pokemon Go, and you have to, like, do the wiggle, wiggle, wiggle to get all the pieces so your, like, super attack can be excellent.
Yeah.
I'm out.
That's what almost all the spells are.
Oh, I like the trainer battle. Like
wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
So the thing is, because you do a lot of trainer battles.
Uh-huh. No, I know. That's not true at all.
You do more than me. And you have already memorized, you probably watched a YouTube video because that's the kind of nerd that you are. Like what each type finger movement is required. For me, I do so few trainer battles and I'm barely paying attention when I do that it's always a surprise.
It's true. My young youthful mind has remembered.
Whatever, dude, you're in your 30s. It's all shut doors for you, bud. I'm pretty sure psychic is swirlies.
Psychic is like the washing machine, yeah.
The washing machine?
Yeah, because it goes in a circle and it keeps going out and out and out.
That's a spiral.
Yeah.
The word is spiral. And I wash in the sink, not the machine.
Okay.
But any of the other ones? I got no idea.
The electric one is where it's like raining electricity. The earthquake shaking the bottom of the screen.
This is an audio program. Oh, okay, talking about them is not going to help me out.
Harry Potter Wizards Unite is not the only game struggling to find an audience for not matching its flagship IP fantasy. One doesn't have to look further than Pokemon itself to find another example. Match 3 game Pokemon Shuffle has fallen off the radar of general public, which can be attributed to its lack of traditional Pokemon gameplay. Other games like Magic the Gathering, Puzzle Quest don't match the gameplay of their iconic IPs.
Wait, did they just say that like MTG Arena does not match the gameplay?
No, they didn't say Arena. They said the Magic the Gathering Puzzle Quest version.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't.
Well, obviously, because Puzzle Quest is an excellent game, but you have to have a regular DS and a time machine to be able to play it. That stuff was revolutionary.
To be fair with Shuffle, Shuffle, I think, did pretty well on 3DS, and they did port it to iOS, but at that point, they were already like finishing that game up, and I don't think that game has any new content at this point anymore. I think we reported on that. I think a better example would have probably maybe been Pokemon Duel.
What's funny is I was doing some research for Pokemon of the Week earlier today, and they like within the past 6 months had a video promoting Pokemon Duel. And it was like, did you really that quickly have to decide to shut it down?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it shuts down this month, doesn't it? October 31st?
Yeah,
I believe so.
Impressive that Pokemon Go still is in the top 100 of all games. 500 new App Store games coming out a day. 74% of App Store revenue is games, which is now going to be interesting with Apple Arcade coming out within the last like 3 weeks, and Harry Potter Wizards Unite not even in the top 1,000.
I find that interesting because when we were at the Mall of America yesterday for Community Day, I saw at least two people dressed up as Harry Potters.
Oh, okay.
And it's not Halloween.
Do you think they were playing, or do you think they just wanted to be a wizard?
Don't we all want to be wizards? I have no idea. I would not put on a Hogwarts robe unless you paid me a significant amount of money.
Well, we'll see about that.
And since people keep trying to argue with me about what my Hogwarts house is, it's going to be extra hard.
You would probably be Slytherin, right?
Who are you? Just want your hearts up. Just go ask the
Steve,
sorting hat.
That's why I was the best man at your wedding, because you understand me. Everybody else is like, no, you're a Ravenclaw.
No.
What house are you?
Will would definitely be Slytherin.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, boys. Thank you.
That's why all three of us podcast, because we know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we...
Okay, where are we putting Steve, though? This is the tougher question.
No, mine's easy, too. I'm also Slytherin.
I could see it.
No. Really?
I think Will learned that from, like, the first time he met me in Milwaukee when he was like, how can I help? And I was like, I don't need your help. And then he was like, yep. I want to help. And I was like, all right, well, sweep the floor.
Yep.
Then I told him he didn't sweep the floor good enough.
Yep.
I don't see Slytherin as unnecessarily controlling. It's not like it listed in there.
I think Slytherins are very independent. I think that's like a big part of them.
Ambitious, shrewd, cunning, strong leaders, and achievement oriented. All right, I'll give you that. I also have a highly developed sense of self-preservation. All right, fine. I see it now.
Wait, Greg, what would you be?
Who would I be?
Gryffindor?
No.
I see Greg is in the Hufflepuff area.
I am a Hufflepuff.
Oh, okay. I can never remember what Hufflepuff is.
Value hard work, dedications, patience, loyalty, and fair play.
Okay, well, isn't Gryffindor loyalty too?
No, Gryffindor is like, we're the best and everybody's below us.
Yep. My mistake.
They have courage. So what is it? Courage. And generally seen as brave to the point of recklessness or something like that.
How are they described
in the book? All right, let me look it up.
So this is the way it goes. If you don't need a sorting hat, I will tell you how to find your house in the world of Harry Potter.
Well, they proved in Harry Potter the sorting hat is like a lie.
Blah, 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 proved, quote unquote. If that's true, then I'm a Slytherclaw because I'm halfway between Slytherin and Ravenclaw. But number one, if you make an iPhone and remove the headphone jack, you are a Gryffindor because you're courageous.
Jeez.
If you develop a second or third party adapter to convert whatever the new thing is into a headphone jack, you're a Slytherin. If you argue that we shouldn't be listening to music or any audio from our mobile devices, you're a Ravenclaw. If you sigh and just accept things the way they are,
that's me. I'm a Hufflepuff, yo.
Easy to remember. Perfect.
It's all about iPhones, kids. Oh, wait, except Samsung did it too.
Yeah, well.
Somebody else has to be brave. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we have some Sword and Shield. Surprisingly, we have an iPhone case.
What?
We will be right back.
Did you know, speaking of buffaloes, that buffalo
stop
is
it
a grammatically correct sentence in English?
That is incorrect.
Buffalo, buffalo.
We are back from our break. This this article is sent in from Brandon from our Slack community. This is off Polygon. Poor Pokemon Go players have gone 7 months without a spawn. A once vibrant community has become a ghost town. I think you guys talked about spawns the week I was not on.
Yeah, the mysterious spawn changes.
Yes. So I think this is a little bit more of a detailed response here. Once upon a time, Salami Island, I think. Is that how you say it?
Why not? Why not? How is it spelled?
S-A-L-A-M-I-S.
Well, I would say Salamis.
I really like Salami Island. Salami Island.
Once upon a time, Salami's Island was flush with Pokemon. No, looks like your island's got the bad case of the Pokemons there.
Oh, no.
Near the beaches and ports, you could find water-type staples like dugong, and they say Wailord. I think the author means Wailmer. I don't think Wailord can spawn in the wild. Outlining the crystal blue Greek waters. Further in, the locals like to joke about how the island was plagued with Cacnea, a grass-type Pokemon that would surely love the ever-present sunny weather. But the days of frolicking Pokemon are now over. In the last 7 months, Salami Island has become a ghost town. The game still works. There are Pokestops everywhere, exactly where they used to be. But unless you purchase a lure, there are no natural spawns anywhere anymore. The game hasn't generated a single Pokemon since around March of 2019. So there was spawn changes a month ago, but obviously
this has been a while.
This is a while. A handful of Salami residents sent Polygon screenshots where players tried to discuss the issue with Niantic, only to be hit with pre-generated messages that did not answer any questions.
Players telling them to submit it, have an Ingress player submit
have
a ticket.
Player, yeah, I've been there. Show how there's no Pokemon on Salami Island.
Players have continued to report the issue several months, but for the most part, Niantic has remained silent. Niantic did not respond to Polygon's request for comments. The leading theory at the moment, which Polygon cannot confirm, is that something must have changed in the back end of the game. As Pokemon Go pulls from OpenStreetMap geodata, if the map labels anything as a natural area, the game will not generate Pokemon there. Likely, this is to stop people from wading into wilderness to hunt Pokemon. But Salami isn't wilderness. Nearly 40,000 people live there, and it's the largest Greek island off the Saronic Gulf. Only one Salami player has managed to get a real response from Niantic, where the developer said it was aware of the bug and had no timeline to fix. Quote, we are sorry for the inconvenience and hope that you continue to play and enjoy our game in other locations until the issue is resolved, the message read. According to Salami resident Lemry69, some Pokemon Go players in the region do indeed travel to keep their game alive.
I thought the dude's name was going to be like Bob Johnson.
No.
And if it is in Greece, it's most likely like Salamis.
Salamis.
Something like that, yeah. When will the people of Salami Island receive justice?
Never.
I would.
They provide us with all these delicious meats, and we give them nothing in return.
I can't imagine what Niantic's inbox looks like.
Oh, man.
A worldwide game, and they have, what, like 200 employees working there? Even if you were, like, double their employees, increase it to 400. Like, that's, like, I'm sure they're still drowning in support requests.
So here's a little secret from the world of tech support. Let me clue you in, buddy. AI and autoresponders in response to ticket requests are far more advanced than you would believe. And I can guarantee you 90% to 95% of their ticket requests get an AI response without any human being ever looking at it once.
Oh, I'm sure. But that's why these people are like not getting an answer, because they're getting hit with those auto responses, and the one person who did get an answer probably figured out the correct title in their email to get around the auto respond.
Well, somebody tweaked the algorithm. Let me call my buddy, my uncle at Google.
Yeah, Please do. I got some words for them.
You got Amazon hate. You got Google hate. You're running out of people to hate.
There's a lot of people left.
This is off Forbes. Pokemon Go fans have a gotta catch 'em all. Bandai is releasing a Pokedex iPhone case next year.
Namco? Or Namco Bandai?
Yeah, one of those.
The people that make Katamari Damacy?
Bandai is selling a Pokedex case from the premium Bandai online store for $37, 3,980 yen. It looks like it is designed for the iPhone X with the dimensions 170mm, 105mm. The Pokedex case can also accommodate the iPhone XS, 6, 7, and 8. However, the XR and XS Max, man, Apple really needs to fix their naming, and 11 are not supported. The case will not fit Android either. If you're curious of what the case looks like, it looks like a Generation 1 Pokedex.
It's so bulky.
Yeah.
Didn't Hannah have like the Pokedex iPhone case that had the battery built in?
She did. That was a Kickstarter one that actually I want to say it got rejected from Kickstarter because of IPs.
Because
somebody reported it. So Kickstarter doesn't. And fun fact about Kickstarter: you could go to Kickstarter with like, we're making our own iPhone, but we're calling it the iPhone 20, and it. If no one reports it, it will stay up. But if somebody reports it and says, like, hey, this is a copyright, and we let Apple know that you're stealing their brand, then Kickstarter will take it down because they don't want to deal with any legal issues. So the Pokedex one went up. There's a lot of Pokemon stuff on Kickstarter, and it got reported. And so then the people who made it, I'm pretty sure, went to Indiegogo. And Indiegogo is like the Wild West. You get anything on Indiegogo. You don't even have to reach your goal, and you get the money still from Indiegogo.
What?
Yep. Indiegogo only has a 9% success rate, FYI. Being a person who is just looking at all these services.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I liked Kickstarter when I used it. And before anyone says, your podcast was on Kickstarter, that's true. But this gets into the like issue of fair use, and everyone's like, well, it's fair use because I made it. Fair use applies to educational stuff and informative stuff.
Parody
is a weird line too.
Parody and commentary. There's like generally to get under commentary or parody, you will still end up going to court.
Yes,
because that is a weird line to draw.
Well, the one thing, and as somebody who also works in intellectual property, that I could say about fair use. Is that it is mostly described to people in much too high level of a way.
Yeah.
And that there are significant specific criteria around fair use that if you are not familiar with, don't try because you're not going to get it.
There was, I can't remember what it was. So here's a good example. You couldn't go to like Kickstarter and sell like Pokemon prints. Even though if you designed the Poke, like if you drew Pikachu yourself and you were like, well, it's my drawing of Pikachu, you're still infringing on Pokemon's character of Pikachu. But there was like, I want to say this was a year ago. There was a like Pokemon encyclopedia on Kickstarter, which because it was educational and it was comparing Pokemon to real world creatures and like breaking down like the habitats that I'll just go with Pikachu again. Like, oh, mice live here and mice grow to be this age and this is the mice's bone structure, and then comparing that to Pikachu, since that's educational, that would fall under fair use. But in order to do that, they still couldn't just use the Tsujimori art for Pikachu. They would have to provide their own art at that point. So that's like where that fine line comes in. So like that's why podcasts never have issues, because podcasts are informational or newsworthy in that sense. Also, we're not really selling you anything. You can just download the show for free.
Stop right there. Just because you're not making money from something does not make it not a fair use violation. I don't know if I threw enough knots in there, but just because you broke don't mean you can use Mickey Mouse. Let's put it that way, okay?
Okay, fair, fair. I'm just saying that there is never a cost to the podcast. You can always get it for free.
True.
But this is going back to the case, this is an official Bandai got the licensing for the Pokedex case. If you want a bulky Pokemon case, sure, I guess. I will say when I was in Japan, I did see a lot of people with really, really bulky cases. A lot of those were like Hello Kitty cases. So I guess there's a market for that.
Did you just say you guess there's a market for Hello Kitty?
No, a market for
because
bulky
let
cases.
Me
no, Hello Kitty.
For
Hello
you,
Kitty.
There
fine.
Is a market for Hello. I would wear Hello Kitty cosplay. There you go. There's a huge market for Hello Kitty. Not Hello Kitty. Give me a Gudetama cosplay and I'm down, buddies.
Speaking of cute non-Hello Kitty things, a new Pokemon was discovered in the Galar region. The Galarian form of Ponyta will appear in Pokemon Shield. The Pokemon Company International and Nintendo confirmed today that the Galar region form of Ponyta will appear in the highly anticipated upcoming Pokemon Shield video game. Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield launch November 15th exclusively on the Nintendo Switch. The Galarian Ponyta made a surprise appearance during the live stream of the forest in the Galar region. Galarian Ponyta is categorized as the unique horn Pokemon. It is psychic type. It is 2 feet 7 inches tall in American. It weighs 52.9 pounds and it has the ability Runaway and Pastel Veil. Galarian Ponyta can be found in a certain forest of the Galar region since ancient times. It is said that they were exposed to the overflowing life energy of the forest over many generations, and therefore their appearance became unique in this region. Galarian Ponyta can absorb the life energy of the surrounding atmosphere and store it in its mane. Its mane will become more colorful and even emit a sparkling glow if there is an abundance of energy around it. Galarian Ponyta's ability Pastel Veil is a new ability introduced in these titles. The ability prevents the Pokemon and its allies from becoming poisoned. It can even cure the poison status condition when this Pokemon enters the battlefield.
Is that it?
That's it.
Nobody That's it. Cares about your little MLP Pokemon.
I love it so much. I
okay.
want it to
there
be my best friend.
There were greater Pokemon that they could have said things about, and they chose not to.
Who?
I am moving to Salami Island and boycotting all of this until I get some recognition from my boy.
What?
And or girl, and or genderless.
There was no other Pokemon shown in that live stream?
Greg.
Didn't we have bets that Impidimp would still not be shown? I mean, it was in the...
It was there.
It was there a lot, but they have not...
They have not talked about our sweet Impidimp.
I have thrown the gauntlet, and the challenge has been made.
Maybe Impidimp is just so cunning that Sonia, or literally every employee at Game Freak, has not been able to classify it properly.
Who is Sonia?
Isn't Sonia the researcher?
The researcher.
So,
the professor's granddaughter.
You were saying that from the game Game Freak employee.
Yeah.
Well, she was the one that set up the camera in the forest. She saw all the footage.
Oh.
Did she not? We watched the footage with her.
We
spent
the footage.
24
yeah.
hours with her. I saw the Impidimp. Did she not?
You're using we rather broadly. Well, obviously she couldn't be bothered to watch the footage because she enlisted all of us to do the work for her.
True, she's a bad
this
researcher.
Is a classic, what is the dude with the fence? That book? Mark Twain?
Tom Sawyer.
Sawyer issue. Yeah. She's like, wouldn't it be fun for all of
What's
us to
fascinating
watch?
Fascinating is if you click through the pictures they have on the website for, hey, check out these still snapshots. The last one is Impidimp's face just staring at you with its tongue hanging out.
Of course
and there's
it
still
is.
No mention of it.
Of course it is. Of course, because they hate Will. They got my number and they hate me.
It wouldn't be a 2009 2009
before the podcast even started.
It wouldn't be a 2019 episode of It's Super Effective if we didn't talk about drama. Do you know what the drama here was?
That they haven't said anything about Galarian Rapidash.
No.
That is
that Ponyta,
psychic type, not fairy type.
Yes, there it is. It? There's the drama.
Okay. Wait, is regular Ponyta also only 2 feet, so 2 feet tall?
I don't. That's the real drama. How tall is old Ponyta? I'm not sure.
2 feet is tiny. All right, for a horse.
Sebastian. Okay.
So old Ponyta is 3 feet.
Is 3'3".
So this is much tinier.
Well, now it's 1 foot tinier. How tall is Rapidash?
Look,
Rapidash Pokemon
is
experts.
17 feet tall.
Rapidash is 5 feet tall.
Wow, it's still not that tall. How many hands?
Wait, how tall is a normal horse?
I don't know, big enough that you got to get on a stool to step up to get on top
not
of it.
Not all horses are that tall. I've been to the state fair.
Are we measuring to the top of the head, or are we measuring to the withers?
Okay.
Tall
horses,
is a horse.
Horses go between 4.7 to 6 feet.
Okay, so Rapidash is good regular horse size.
Right.
Yeah, and Ponyta is a pony. How tall is a pony?
Well, it depends. I mean, they're growing. Ponies are babies.
14.2 hands.
Well, how many hands?
Four feet 10 inches that's what 14 hands turns into.
So one Ponyta. How many cats? Let's have a throwback. How many cats is a pony?
Well, I think you need at least 18 cats to make a pony.
18? I would say you only need 6 cats to make a pony.
No.
Height?
Okay, how big is a cat?
Oh, so you have one cat per leg. Then you have
to make a full pony, but the height of a pony is like 6 cats.
Oh, if you're stacking the cats, I understand.
Yeah.
Got it. I thought we were squishing the cats into pony size and then filling the gaps.
That would be cruel and unusual.
Officially, it would take 7 cats to be the same size as a...
To Milwaukee Public Schools. I'm very uneducated. But even I learned in Milwaukee Public Schools that we don't judge books by their cover.
I mean, everybody does, though. So let's be real. Like, if the book has a terrible cover, you are not picking it up off the shelf. That is such a bad statement because, there's a plain cover with, just words on it, or there's a bare-chested man with his hair blowing in the wind. I'm picking up that cover book long before Boring Old Word Book.
How many Harlequin romances have you read in your life, Greg?
None.
Ah, well, I got you beat there because I've like 30 of them. Love them.
Wow.
Dude, you got no real romance? You go for the Harlequins.
Jeez.
That's their actual slogan. But here, let's cut to the quick. Cut to the chase, whatever phrase you prefer to use. Rainbows are fairy type only, period. How dare you? Psychic type
is pink. It's not a rainbow, though. It's purple and blue. It's two colors.
Those colors are on a rainbow.
Look, every color is in the rainbow.
Not, Greg, help me here.
you are in the wind, son.
Not taupe. Rainbow doesn't have taupe. Taupe is a color.
Sure. Can't argue with that logic. Were you too upset to learn that Galarian Ponyta was not fairy?
A little. I thought it was going to be a dual type. I thought it would be fairy something, which they may do for Rapidash. I wasn't expecting it to be psychic type because it's in the fairy forest, but when I found out that it was the shield exclusive, that made sense because Sirfetch'd is pure fighting.
There you go. And then in, what is it going to be, Pokemon Lance?
Yeah.
So we have a psychic, a fighting, and then
a dark type.
Dark would be the
Impidimp will be Impidimp's
Impidimp is very dark. Impidimp is very dark, is it not?
I don't know. I don't think
they haven't announced the type.
No, we know the type because of the E3 demo. I'm pretty sure Impidimp is very dark.
I know it's fairy for sure. I don't know about the other part. I don't know
There's
about the dark.
Been nothing official said about my beautiful, beautiful
it is,
child.
It is Dark Fairy.
Oh, how do you know for sure?
Impotent was first shown during... Because a million people battled it at E3 and at Worlds and at...
Maybe it has an ability that makes it appear to be very dark, and that's...
Maybe.
It's actually ground type.
Yeah. Who knows? Give us Impotent. Quit now, frauds.
Thank you. Thank you.
You could say or think... I think Al went on this huge rant about how it should have been fairy, and I'll throw Al under the bus here real quick because I love him. I don't think a Pokemon should be anything. Case in point.
Agreed.
Case in point. Maybe I'm putting words in Al's mouth. Maybe he didn't say that. I think he tweeted it though. This is why I will never. I get asked this question all the time. What do you think Zamazenta and Zacian's type are? I have no clue. Especially after the Solgaleo debacle. Everyone under the sun, because Solgaleo was on the cover of Pokemon Sun, thought that Pokemon was going to be fire type.
Correct.
Yup.
I have no clue what Zacian and Zamazenta's type are going to be. You could go with the obvious. They're probably steel because swords and shields are made out of metal. But I'm not going to take that risk. I have no clue.
Nope.
Pokemon has already taught us if there's one thing Gen 2 did correctly. It was to teach us that things are not what they are perceived to be. Case in point, Sudowoodo. That little cute Pokemon looks like a tree. And we all suddenly learned that it was a rock. It was a fake tree.
Yeah, but so fake trees are rock.
This is actually a clue. They knew all the way back in Johto. That they were going to be making these games. So this is the clue. And here, let me, if you want to miss the spoiler, just jump ahead like 30 seconds. The sword one is rock ground. The shield one is ground rock.
Yeah. Makes sense. It makes sense because the whole Excalibur myth of the sword being stuck in the stone.
There
so
you
it
go.
Obviously has to be rock type. Obvi.
I would find it hard to believe that Galarian Rapidash would be pure psychic. It could be.
It could be.
Wait, isn't regular Rapidash pure fire?
Yeah.
Fire. Hot stuff, baby, tonight.
I would hope or maybe assume that it would, you know, have a second typing. But at the end of the day, I don't really... If it doesn't, that's fine. But there are 800-some Pokemon. We have plenty of psychic Pokemon. We don't have enough fairy. They could have made it fairy. They chose not to. Probably because there's a reason that we're not seeing.
I mean...
They don't need more psychic Pokemon. So it wasn't like, what do you guys think this looks like? And the team was like, well, it looks like fairy. And they were like, but we need more psychic. Like that conversation never happened because they have enough psychic.
Yeah, but they have enough fairy too.
No.
Back and retrofitted all those Pokemon to make them fairy type. They got plenty of fairy to go around.
I mean, there's a case we made about the poison curing aspects and the poison resistance that lead it to me not fairy, because fairy is weak to poison.
There are 22 fairy Pokemon. There are not a lot of... Out of 800 Pokemon, there are 22 fairy Pokemon.
How many psychic types?
Not counting Mew and Mewtwo, 83.
So there are 80 psychic types and 22 fairy types. And I'm assuming the fairy types aren't counting... I'm assuming that 22 does not count Galar Weezing or Impidimp or...
Well, Impidimp doesn't exist officially.
That's true. Or whatever the other fairy Pokemon was. Wait, what was your rant?
I don't know.
The poison stuff. Yeah, so fairies are weak to poison, and this Ponyta's ability, which is new, and the lore based on it was, you know, it cures poison. So does lore over... Like, I The Baskalin argument proves me wrong every time. This is why I hate Baskalin. I always assume that there is a group of people that put a lot of thought and effort into Pokemon, and it wasn't just like, we have all these types, let's throw a dart. Oh, well, I guess this Ponyta is going to be psychic. I don't think that situation happens.
Let me give you a fundamental rule of the universe, and this is like one of those things that at some point in your life, you realize it's true, and you just like, what is it? It's like once you open that door, you can't close it again.
Yeah.
So, sorry, kids. Most of the time, when you think people have thought things through thoroughly and planned them extensively and put a lot of work and thought and consideration into the product they're providing you, I will tell you, 99% of the time, no.
No, they haven't.
They put best effort, good. Good enough.
Yeah, ship this out the door.
Let's get the product. Exactly. And I'm sorry, this goes all the way from the way the government works all the way down to the formulation of your toilet cleaner.
I mean, you're not wrong. The amount of times I've worked on websites and I'm like, well, that wasn't supposed to happen the way it was supposed to. It looks all right, though. I guess we'll ship it.
I guess we go. Sure.
Well, no, but it's like you look at a website and you're like, that's a very nice website. I bet the web programmer like counted the number of pixels on the left and the number of pixels on the right of this image. And they're like, all right, that is perfectly centered for the enjoyment and appreciation of the people coming to view this site. When in all actuality, we know somebody drag and dropped that image into a WYSIWYG editor. And they're like, it looks like it's in the middle.
Looks good enough.
Ship it.
We'll get back to it later. And then they never do.
They never do. I mean, I would have liked it to be fairy type. I'm not bothered by it being psychic type.
But you would like any Pokemon to be fairy.
You're not wrong.
like whether it was fairy or whether it was psychic, if it's still bad Pokemon, it's still going to be bad Pokemon. You're not going to use it anyway. You're all going to use Rapidash instead.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Rapidash.
I mean, Rapidash Evo had better be sweet because Galarian Ponyta is so cute, and I want one just
it is
because.
Cute.
And I mean, I get all the reasons why, according to mythology, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it should probably be fairy type. Like, there are valid reasons why you expected it to be fairy type. It's not, and there ain't anything we can do about it. Oh, well.
I'm sure it'll make sense when Rapidash comes out. When Galarian Ponyta evolves into...
Either way.
When Galarian Ponyta evolves into regular Rapidash, it will all make sense.
Here's the scoop. Galarian Ponyta evolves into Impidimp.
That's
why they're not releasing it.
That's the secret.
That's the real catch. All right, we'll take one more break. When we come back, we have Question of the Week, Pokemon of the Week, and one more news article, so we will be right back.
Deep fryers are a lot of work.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about this will happen in a chippy. Chippy. Chippy.
Slow down, Al. What's a chippy?
It's a shop where you can buy chips. Chippy. Chippy.
Chippy.
Chippy. So the chippy.
Chips.
Pizza.
And we are back. Not much to talk about with this news article. This was sent in by Andrew from Slack, but the anime showed a new professor and a new professor assistant, which is not the same as the professor and professor assistant from Sword and Shield. I don't know. This professor looks very dad-like.
Yeah. And the professor's from Kanto, from Vermilion City.
What?
Professor Sakuraji? Sakura?
That ain't not sticking in English.
No.
Well, it's like Professor Cherry is what it will be.
Probably. What color is Vermilion? Vermilion's green, right?
Yeah, but Sakura is the cherry blossom.
Right. No, there's Vermilion red. What color is Vermilion?
It's one of those ones that
Vermilion,
tricks you.
Not a yellow?
No. It's probably like...
Oh, Vermilion is red.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, it's interesting. I like the character design for both of them.
Yeah, it seems all right. I mean,
I had a real tough moment watching the anime, the Sun and Moon anime, where I just realized how much I don't like Ash's lightning bolts under his eyes anymore.
Oh, really?
And now I can't stop looking at them and hating them.
Because he's tired all the time. Drinking too much Red Bull.
I don't know what changed,
but
like some pose they did in the anime like made them really prominent, and now they bother me so much, and I don't know why. I'm trying to figure out what about it is bugging me, but it just is. I'm having issues.
Little zigzags.
Oh, they're lightning bolts. Ooh, that new professor. He's okay.
Yeah. It's pretty plain. But, you know, we'll see. Got that yamper, though.
Mm-mm-mm. Pass. Box it up.
Cute, 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 cute.
Pokemon Go teased a Halloween event coming. They used an image of Litwick. If you have not gotten a Litwick yet, I'm assuming they're going to be increasing Litwicks.
That is not safe.
They're actually in Pokemon Go, the Litwicks are electric type, so they can't accidentally cause a fire if they're left unattended.
Oh, I see. Good. Makes sense.
Finally, Galarian
Litwick. They just have batteries in their butts.
100 hour batteries, correct.
Yeah. Isn't that just Rotom?
Maybe.
Galarian Litwick is Rotom.
Question of the week.
Oh, we're here. All right. Question of the week, asked from Slack. Question of the week.
That's a little jazzy.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Brandon. If you had to assign a Pokemon to each month of the year, which would each month's Pokemon be? For example, because this is a really easy one, which one of you guys can use what you want? For example, for the month of December, that month's Pokemon could be Delibird.
No, so December is Snover because, you know, universal pine tree covered in snow. May is Roselia because May is the best month.
So also
for November because it's squash season.
For the ill-informed, and by squash season, he doesn't mean smash your neighbor's jack-o'-lantern. That's rude.
No, that's rude. It means make a pie from squash.
The greatest of all areas of the Poke Earth, Unova, there was something called the Unova Horoscope. These are the Pokemon that they assigned to each month. January, Sawsabuck. February, the fantastic Simi Poor.
Ugh.
March,
ugh. This is the worst.
Molola. I can't even pronounce
that one.
All
of these are bad.
April.
August is fine.
April, Whimsicott. May, Boo Falant. June,
bad.
Clink. July, Crustula.
Bad.
August, Braviary.
Good.
September, Gotharita.
Good.
October, Lampent.
Good.
November, Scolipede.
Bad.
December, Fracture.
Terrible.
So, it's hard to go through 12 months and think of 12 Pokemon that go with the months. They're all psychic types because that's got 85 to pick from. So we'll start the year with Mew.
Okay.
Happy Mew year. You get it? Happy Mew year.
I'm out.
I like this.
December will be Mewtwo because...
No, December is Snover. Or Obama Snow.
I'm a Hawaii boy. December is actually Alolan Exeggutor because we just hang some lights off of a...
I mean, that's
palm
fine.
Tree.
You can have that. Or Bruxious, because it's colorful for the holidays.
No, Bruxious is... what's a good eaten month? November?
April?
No, you don't eat a lot in April. November is like the eating
don't.
Month.
All right, I got it. So we'll go with Will's example. We'll go with the only psychic Pokemon, Mew, for January. Happy Mew year.
Ugh, I hate this.
February, we're going to go with Jinx, because it's the month of loving. Jinx has
don't
the lips.
Love Disc at that point.
And Jinx is ice type, and February is like the coldest
month
of the
psychic.
Year.
Love Disc is not psychic.
Why does it have to be psychic?
Because this is what we decided on. This is what we decided on.
We did not.
Yeah, because we only got the 80 to pick from.
Ugh.
And but also worst. Jinx is ice type, so that's because February is the coldest month. So
well, so it's got your love and your cold, cold heart like Will.
Perfect. Happy birthday. And then March has to be Cyndaquil because that's the month that my birthday
no,
is.
No, 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 no.
Psychic.
No, that's not psychic.
That's not psychic.
Galarin Cyndaquil, which is psychic.
Oh, you are the worst.
March would be Wobbuffet.
I'm taking Gardevoir for May.
Wait, March is Victini. Psychic fire, because
that's
my birthday.
Fine. The victory month, March.
Beware the Ides of March, Victini. Fine.
Comes in like a lion, goes out like a... Ooh, maybe it's Sogaleo, because Sogaleo was psychic. And it comes in like a lion, goes out like a lamb.
Okay, fine. March,
fine.
Sogaleo.
March is Sogaleo.
April will be Lugia.
May is Gardevoir. I'm taking Gardevoir for my birthday.
May, Gardevoir, okay. June would be Meowstic.
Why?
Look, it's just like a YouTube top 10. You don't have to give reasons. July.
Well, you can give reasons. They just don't have to be valid.
July is Bronzong.
No. Okay, fine. That's actually good. I was going to say Chime Echo, but that's good.
No. July is Bronzong.
Bronzong.
August is Delphox.
Okay.
For all the Leos out there.
What's after August? September?
September. We'll go back to school.
Chime Echo.
That, no.
Gotta get those bells ringing.
All right.
Wind chimes.
October is Behem.
Aliens. I can get down with that. November is Musharna, because everyone wants to sleep because of their Thanksgiving.
Or drowsy because you're tired.
Yeah, but Musharna's just the better tap here.
And December is Mr. Mime. He comes and gives you gifts.
What?
We did it.
I don't think that's true. Where does Victini fit in this calendar?
We gave that to March, I thought.
No, we went Sogaleo because it comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb because you were at Ides of Marching me and I was like, ugh, whatever.
Victini is actually New Year's right at midnight.
It's Victini.
This is the crossover.
Is on the lunar calendar.
Oh, there we go.
Which is a 13-month calendar.
Victini is the 13th month that nobody cares about except for you. So that fits.
Oh.
Will, Pokemon of the week.
All right. Well, last week's was not a Pokemon for those who remember.
I lost my notes and I'm so sad.
You'll get it. You'll get it, Greg. Here's the clues. Carnivals and fairs, you inspired me by your talk of the state fair, Minnesota State Fair, and then I talked about Rye Playland and that there's a roller coaster in Rye Playland that's actually one of those old wooden roller coasters that are becoming more rare as time goes on. But you don't get out of the roller coaster at any point in time to change tracks and get on a different car. Also to note, I did ride the SpongeBob SquarePants Rock Bottom roller coaster at Mall of America, and it is fantastic. Loved it. Highly recommended. 6 tickets. You can take a train from Grand Central Station to get to Rye, which then you can get to Rye Playland. There's no airport in the town where I grew up, but there's an airport in not the next town over, but the next town over from that. This is a very telling clue for those who are truly paying attention. And if they were to write a song about Portchester, they wouldn't use the word exciting, but... For the thing that we're talking about for this week, they did use the word exciting in the name of the song that was written about it. Give it to me. What is it?
Lepaberry.
Go home, fraud. You don't even get a quit now. If you weren't home already, gee.
Okay, so I'm getting stuck on the song part. They wrote a song for this item?
Dude, come on, think about it. When Pokemon and music come together, it's called a
musical.
No. Soundtrack, and when you buy the soundtrack, each of the songs is based on every city in
kiss
the game
begins with K.
No, every city in the game has its own song. And so in Unova, there was a city that had a Ferris wheel, and the electric gym had an indoor roller coaster.
I mean, it did, but is that the item?
Who said item?
Oh.
Nobody said item. I just said it's not a Pokemon.
Oh, I was stuck on item. Are we
talking? I don't know why.
I don't know why either. Don't look, I lost my notes.
The answer is Nimbasa City. And
Nimbasa City.
Congrats, Steve. You finally got it. Glad that NyQuil is working for you. Yeah, I never said item.
I don't know why I thought item. That is where I was. Because I was like, oh, it's something that you only get in Nimbasa City.
No.
And I was like, what do you only get in Nimbasa City?
And the whole time I was talking about like a location and a town and village. Look, and
look, I wasn't listening to you for a while there.
It happens. I accept it.
All right, what's our new clues?
Well, no, you guys, there is some trivia about Nimbasa City.
Yeah. You get to go do a fashion show. Yeah, well, okay.
See, everyone was so hung up about 18 gyms in Sword and Shield. There are actually 11 gyms in Black and White 2.
What?
Well, Nimbasa City has 2 gyms.
Yeah.
Are you talking about like the basketball gym and
No. Nimbasa City actually has 2 gyms. Eliza.
What's the other one?
Eliza has her roller coaster gym that you just mentioned.
Yes.
But she shuts down that gym for her fashion gym next door.
Yeah, for her fashion gym.
So if we baseline 8 gyms, we're up to 9 now. Let's just go Black and White 2. So 9 gyms in Black and White 2. One of them is vacant. So Lenora's gym still exists. We just can't go to it. So that brings us to 10 gyms. The trio, untasteful, disgusting, and bad.
Get out of here with your unpopular opinions.
Their gym is still there, so that brings us to 11 gyms. And I think you don't go to... I think there's a Marlin's gym gets added, so that actually puts us at 12 gyms. So there you go.
Yeah, and the Poison gym got added.
Nimbasa, lit by the flash of lightning city.
No. So I'm counting the Poison gym already. Bryson leaves his gym to be the movie star.
He does.
And so that's why Marlin's gym gets added. So yes, there are 12 gyms in Black and White 2.
The section of that game, the Movie Star Studios. Ooh, that whole section's rough.
Yes.
Trivia for Nimbasa, since Steve can't figure it out. Number one, Nimbasa City is the only known city in the Pokemon world to feature arenas for human sporting events and an amusement park.
Yeah, it's got that good sport ball.
Since Unova is based on New York City, it's possible that Nimbasa City is meant to represent Coney Island. Coney Island has an amusement park on it. I referenced Coney Island in my clues. It's home to one of New York's largest subway stations, which, like, Gear Station in Nimbasa City is connected
to
all those blah, blah, blah. And being part of it's relatively close to some of New York's professional sports venues. Nimbasa City is not on an island, but is mostly surrounded by water. There is a large Pikachu figure in the amusement park, even though Pikachu are not native to Unova. In Pokemon Black 2 and White 2, a Pichu is also shown next to it. Nimbasa City is one of 2 cities that is more populous than the largest city in its region, the other being Celadon City. They are more populous than Castalia City and Saffron City, respectively. This also happens in Sinnoh, but only in Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, where Heart Home City is more populous than Jubilife City. I would like to know where they're getting these figures for the populations of the different cities.
Okay, sure.
It's like I did not notice a, which I've actually only ever noticed in the Midwest, a population number next to it's like, welcome to St. Louis Park. And then it's like population 3,546. Yep. Why,
so you know how many people you're going to run into there.
How many people are going to say, excuse me, when you look at them.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. All right. This week, we have a Pokemon. It is a Pokemon. It is not an item. It is not a location. It is not a big mood. It is a Pokemon. It is easy mode this week. On my quick... Ugh.
Yeah, here we go.
Good start.
I can't even pronounce the word. On my kitchen counter, I have a book that I highly recommend. It is called A Poem a Day, and it offers up 366 short poems from throughout time so that you can enjoy a new one every day of the year. Inspired by this, I have written a verse myself.
Oof.
False promises, betrayal, ignoring our pleas, no justice. Have they done this before? Dangled such a treat before our eyes, only to leave us unsatisfied? Like a black tongue parched with thirst, hanging limply from our mouths. I don't even know what type you are. My sweet child, don't make me laugh, Greg. It was such a good poem until you made me laugh. Oh. I'm going to die from laughter. Oh, no. That's it. That's it. That's the Pokemon of the week. All right, please, please close the program.
And put us out of our misery, please.
If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at Pokemon Podcast. If you too enjoy laughing, please continue laughing while you leave us a review in Apple Podcasts. Very easy to do on your iPhone or iOS device, or if you're on a computer, if you still for whatever reason are using iTunes, you can do that there too. Thank you for all the reviews this week. If you would like to follow Will on Twitter at WashInTheSink, and if you would like to follow Greg on Twitter at WhiteWing, myself at DraggingALake. Shout out to the people who came by this past week on Twitch. We did I played through all of Heart Gold in one sitting.
Yeah, you did.
On Friday. Boy, that's a heck of a game. 16 gyms. I can't remember how long. I think it took me 10 hours and 45 minutes to do.
World record.
To do, no, not even close, but to do all 16 gyms and Ho-Oh and Mewtwo and Red. And I did it all with my Feraligatr, so. I believe we will be playing Pokemon Conquest later this month, but we're going to be completing trying to complete our Pokedex in Black 2. I don't know if we'll be able to do it before Sword and Shield, but we're like 4 weeks out. Less than 30 days till Sword and Shield, I think. No, by the time this episode goes up, about 31 days from Sword and Shield. So thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. I believe we will see you guys next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super cute little pony who's psychic type.
Like every podcast on the internet, we are funded by Patreon. This is a shout out to all the supporters at the producer tier on Patreon. A huge thank you to Kevin, Cygnus, Patrick, Jet, Jeffrey, Matthew, Alex, Catherine, Pancake, and Anthony. Thank you all for the support. If you've made it to the end of this episode listening to this promo, that is also support. So thank you. Appreciate it. We will see you next week.